I'd like for you to take your Bible tonight and look at the Old Testament book of Exodus, and I'd like for us to look at a text there briefly. I don't have a full-blown talk tonight. I'd like to just share some encouragement about our journey together. Now, I just want to tell you tonight, and I want you to know my heart tonight, that I am excited that God is providing for us. We've looked and prayed and waited and trusted, and then just almost at the last moment, God made this avenue open to us to move to the Hippodrome. And we think it's going to be really great, exciting. And I just want to confess to you tonight that God is leading us on. He's leading us forth. And I just praise Him for that. I praise Him for His provision. And when you leave tonight, I want you to leave. We didn't have a time of applause and we didn't get all excited about that. But when you leave tonight, I want you to leave with a sense of gratitude in your heart. Because God is leading us forth. He's a good God. And if anything has been true about these few weeks, and maybe it's been true in you, and if it's been true in you, I want to tell you it's been true in me. If anything has been true, that all this uncertainty and where and when and if and all these other questions have only led us back to what really is important in the first place. And what really is important in the first place is that we hear the voice of God. And that we walk with Him in our lives. That is the vital thing for you. It's the vital thing for me. And frankly, Choice Ministries could fade into oblivion. And God's heartbeat would be the same. That is, I want you to hear my voice. And I want you to walk with me. And there's some keys in this text that I want to highlight for us tonight as a way of looking forward to our corporate prayer time together next Monday night and to our coming together for worship and celebration 2 weeks from now. And the setting is the desert. The setting is Old Testament. The setting is, to give you a backdrop, Moses has led the nation of Israel out of bondage in Egypt through the Red Sea and into the wilderness. And if they had just paid attention to God, they'd already be in the promised land by now. But as they began to grumble and rumble around the desert, there was always this constant stress and strain. God wanted to bless them, but they just couldn't get it. And Moses was always interceding for them, and God would have mercy on them. And God would give them another chance, and another chance, and another chance. In this particular chapter 33, they've just had the big calf bash. They've just had a major function. And built for themselves a golden calf and had a party around it. Moses went up on the mountain to meet with God and to hear the voice of God. Moses was on board. He was on board with our talk last week. It is time to seek the Lord. And Moses had gone up the mountain to seek God and to hear a word from God for the people. And God gave him the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments was God's way of saying, I know how to live and I have an encouragement for you people. And Moses came down with these two tablets. Can you check this out? Moses has got the stuff, the voice of God, written by the hand of God for the people of God. What an incredible journey. He's hauling down this mountain with the voice of God written by the hand of God for the people of God. I think he's fired up. He's pumped. And he gets to the bottom of the mountain and they're having this party. They're having a wild celebration. They're having a worship service and they're worshiping an idol. They thought Moses croaked somewhere up in the mountain and he was never coming back. So they just built this big golden calf and started celebrating and worshiping it. And when Moses saw that, he took the written word of God, the voice of God for the people of God, and he threw the stones down. They burst into little pieces on the ground. And Moses was ticked off, and God was ticked off. Not too long after, all the people were ticked off. And in that setting, in that dynamic, God again has mercy. And He says to Moses, I'm going to lead this people out into the land that I promised to give them. What an incredible, merciful God. Do you ever feel like the people in the desert? Stumbling and rumbling around the desert. And God keeps having mercy on us. First thing I want you to notice as God and Moses were interacting is that God said to Moses, okay, Moses, here's the deal. I'm going to lead you out, and I'm going to bless you. I mean, he just told him right off the bat, I'm going to bless you. Now, that'd be good news for you or me to have a guarantee from God. You're on your way to do something, or you're entering into some relationship, you're entering into some period or some studies or something or whatever, and God just tells you up front, hey, guess what? I'm going to really bless you. If you look with me in chapter 33, in the very beginning, in verse 1, we find God's guaranteed blessing. Then the Lord spoke to Moses. He said, depart and go up from here, you and all the people who you've brought out from the land of Egypt. And go to the land which I swore to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, saying, to your descendants I will give this land. And check out verse 2. Verse 1, he says, I'm going to give you the land, the good land, the promised land, the bountiful land. I'm going to give it to you just like I promised Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. I'm going to give you the land. That'd be a good word, wouldn't it, if God just came to you and told you, I'm going to give it to you. And you'd go, really? He said, really, I'm going to give it to you. And in verse 2, he even said something more than that. He said, and I will send an angel before you. Now, this is some serious angel. I don't know if you're into angels or not, but this is a major league angel. Check him out. Not going to sing a bunch of angels, just one angel. I'd like to see this guy coming, or girl, or it, or whatever they are. And I will send an angel before you. Look what he's going to do. I will drive out. And then you got all the ites here, the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. He says, two things God says. Don't get hung up on the ites. He said, two things I'm going to do. I'm going to give you the stuff. I'm going to give you the land. I'm going to bless you with the land. And more than that, I'm sending this master angel with you, this real potent angel with you, and he's going to just clear the path before you when you go. Check that out. That'd be a good word, wouldn't it? Thank you very much. I'm going to get the car, and all the way along the way, God's just going to walk before me. Wow, that's great. The grades are going to work out. Mom, Dad, I got a word. God's going to give me the grades. They're going to work out all along the way. Through all those professors' offices, all those graders' minds, an angel's going to go before me and make the path right. God's going to do it. Or you're sitting in the cafeteria and God says, you see him? I'm going to give you him. And you turn your tray over and start a food fight and say, hallelujah, I have a word from God. God is going to bless me. And then if he said this, because that guy needs help, I'm going to give you help. I'm going to send an angel. And he's going to prepare the way. Knock on that guy's mind. Hey, psst. See her? Maybe it's just your ministry. God bless us. Maybe it's a situation at home. Maybe it's an internal struggle. And you heard God say, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to send an angel. And he's going to just deck everybody in the path. You're going to walk in. I'm going to give him a big blessing. Let's stop at point one. Most of us, if I can be honest for a second, most of us, like a rocket, would have launched at point one. God's going to give us a blessing, and God's sending this humongous angel, and the angel's going for us. Whoa, here we go. Look out, man. We are cruising now. We have got the blessing guaranteed, and a big angel. We are coming at you. God is going to bless us. Because many of us, our lives center around this phrase, God, would you bless us? God, would you bless our meeting? God, would you bless our studies? God, would you bless our sharing with this guy? God, would you bless this? Will you bless that? Will you bless the other? 99 times out of 100 when we come to God and say, God, will you bless this or that or the other? We're always shuffling stuff onto his desk. God, will you bless this? Will you bless this? God, we decided we're going to implement this great strategy. Will you bless it? God, we decided we're going to build a great ministry. Will you bless it? God, we're going to go on and do this. Will you bless it? God, I think I want to date her. Will you bless it? God, I think this is my heart's desire. Will you bless it? Will you bless it? Will you bless it? Will you bless it? And if God said, yes, I'll bless it. Most of us would just take off like a rocket. Because the primary thing we want from God is his blessing. It's true. And we can figure out how to get it. Then we'll move forward with it.
But Moses is not like me and you. First point, God guaranteed his blessing. Second point, Moses said, there's something better than your blessing. Moses, he wasn't overwhelmed with that. He didn't say, "Woo, boy, howdy." He said, okay, it's a good start. But he said, God, there's something better than your blessing. And Moses wanted God's presence. He wanted his presence. I want you to jump down, if you would, and read in verse 12. And then Moses said to the Lord, see, you have said to me, bring up this people. But you yourself have not let me know who you're going to send with me. He said, moreover, you have said, I have known you by name, Moses. And you have found favor in my sight, Moses. And so Moses speaks back and he says, so I pray to you, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways, key phrase, that I may know you, so that I may find favor in your sight. And Moses said, consider too that this nation is your people. And then in verse 14, God said to Moses, and he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. My presence will go with you, and I'll give you rest. You see, Moses, men and women, and don't miss this tonight. Don't make the mistake of missing this. Moses said, we've got to have more than your blessing. We just don't want to know that you're going to give us this and do it this way. We don't want to go without you. And you see, if God gave us what we ask Him for, most of the time, we just take off. Leave Him standing there. Thank you very much. Appreciate the blessing. And Moses said, God, more than a blessing, I've got to know whether or not you're going to go with us and your presence is going to go with us. And God relented and said, okay, Moses, my presence will go with you. And look at this next verse. Moses' heart just comes out in verse 15. And Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, don't lead us up from here. If your presence doesn't go with us, God, then don't lead us because we don't want to go. God, we don't want to go to the Hippodrome if your presence isn't going to go with us. In fact, they could build a Taj Mahal right over here in this big vacant intramural field, and we don't want to go into the Taj Mahal unless your presence is going to go with us in there. And so our heart's cry has been in these days, far more important than the place we meet is that God meets us in that place. When you come together in your groups to pray, you want to pray, God, we want you to come and let your presence fill up the walls of that place and fill up our lives. Thank you for providing. We appreciate the blessing. The price is right. It's going to work. They're happy to have us. We appreciate the provision, but we want your presence to come with us. We don't want to go without you. Now see, in the Old Testament, just brief parentheses, the presence of God always was a visible thing. When they hang out, you can check out verses 7 and following right above there. Moses would go in the tent. When he'd go in the tent, God would somehow let his presence fill the tent. It says a pillar, a cloud would just come down in front of the tent. And the whole nation of Israel would go, oh, check it out, the pillar's there, the cloud's there. Whoa. And they would all stand in their tent, facing the temple, as long as they saw that cloud over that tabernacle where Moses was meeting with God. There was a visible symbol of His presence. At night when they'd go out, fire would go before them. Visible. Here we come. Check it out. You've seen other folks coming through here. Right. But have you seen fire coming in front of them? Wrong. Why? Because we're the people of God. Fire's coming before us and behind us. You see, God was gracing them with what is called the Shekinah glory, a visible representation of Himself, visible symbols, so that Moses would say down here, read with me in verse 17, and the Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing for you. Now, let me back up to 16. Here's why He says we're not going to go unless your presence goes. Verse 16, for how can it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not by your going with us so that I and all of your people may be distinguished from the other peoples who are on the face of the earth? Do you get the equation tonight? What distinguishes us as God's people? What is it? Blessing? Wrong. Sometimes lost people have more blessing than God's people. You ever seen that happen? Is it blessing that distinguishes us? No. Is it our great pomp and circumstance that distinguishes us? No. What distinguishes us? His presence. You can walk in 100 churches on any given Sunday, and you can rumble into a bunch of Bible studies on an even night of the week, and the thing that will distinguish some is not their style, or their ability, or their smoothness, or their might. It is His presence. His presence is a distinguishing factor for our lives. Can I ask you a question tonight? This comes to my heart. If you scanned across this campus today and stopped at you, would His presence in your life be the distinguishing factor? Not I'm on 87 religious things and I do all the Christian stuff at this school, I'm a good person, but would His presence in you, God in you, distinguish you from the peoples on the earth? See, His presence is the critical key. God said, I guarantee you blessing. But then Moses said, there's something better than blessing. We want your presence. You know, what if I told you tonight, and guys, I'm not ragging on you tonight, trust me. And if I am, it's only because it's true. But I'm really, that's not my heartbeat. That's not what tonight is about. But just let me say this for a second to you ladies, to you women. I'm going to say women now because I'm sensitive in other parts of the country where our tapes go. People don't like to be called ladies. And so if you're listening to this somewhere in the other part of the world and you don't like to be called a lady, well, bless you, woman. Frankly, I can go either way on it, so I want to get them both in there if I can. But to you women, what if I said this to you? I got a deal for you. It's called the weekend of a lifetime. And what's going to happen is you're going to get in a limousine right out in front of Patton F. Hall. In fact, Dr. Reynolds is going to come open the limousine door for you when you get in. He's going to start this thing off right. And you're going to jet your way up 35 in this humongous limousine with this great guy. And when you get to Dallas, there's a table reserved for you at the top of Reunion Tower, revolving and scanning over the whole city. They're flowers, fresh flowers. They're the kind that you like, not just, you know, the rose. Everybody does the rose. They're calla lilies, beautiful ones, big vase of them right there. And a little card, just with your name on it, and just a little handwritten inscription. You can tell the florist didn't write this thing, you know, but the guy, he wrote it. It's a handwritten thing, and this beautiful meal. And after this meal, there's this whole evening plan. It's just incredibly romantic. It's just fantastic. It's whatever you dream of. Maybe you're thinking, I get dizzy if I go around. Okay, so you go to a different place. And afterwards, it's just phenomenal. And it's set up so that you spend the evening. Now, I don't need to clarify that, I hope, for you guys. It's done correctly. You spend the evening. It's a great place. And the next day, you have this whole day together. And there's all kinds of fun things, and then there's shopping, and then there's a great lunch, and then there's a great walk through the park, and there's a chance to go and feed these ducks, and there's quiet moments, and the guy happens to be very skilled, and so he whips out a 12-string guitar, and he just sings a song that he wrote for you, you know, and the ducks are kind of swimming in rhythm with the music, and it's a beautiful thing. And you spend the night again, and after this beautifully quiet, romantic dinner at the mansion on Turtle Creek, just a beautifully nice set place. And then Sunday morning, you get up and you go to the greatest, most exciting worship service you've ever been to, and you just hang out through the whole thing together, and then the limousine picks you up in the front and brings you back and dumps you right out, drops you right off at, out here. Any girls be interested in a weekend? Just one or two? I see one right back here. We'll let you go. Now here's the catch. I get to pick the guy that you go with. All right, what's your name? Yeah.
We're running on a limited time schedule, but, you know, I can wait longer. Yeah, right on the edge, right there, yeah. Hi, Julie. Julie, I get to pick the guy. Is that okay? If he can play the guitar. Okay, I'll pick a guy that can play the guitar. Is that okay? Just so long as he can play the guitar. That's all you really need? Uh-oh, Julie's backing up on me here. No, we're talking limousine, couple dinners, revolving around, see the city, you know, ducks, whole deal. Is there a problem? Okay, spending money. Get spending money, sure. $3 in the gallery and $500. Okay, we'll throw that in. We can do anything with this date. But I get to pick the guy. Okay? Okay, she gives in. And what if I go and pick the biggest, most self-centered, egotistical, insensitive, shallow, non-spiritual, tone-deaf. She just said he had to play the guitar. Oh, he can play. Boy, he can't carry a tune. But he can play. He can only play one string. Bang, 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 bang. And this guy looks like a DERF. He acts like a DERF. His clothes don't match. He hasn't showered. He is uncool in every way, shape, and form. He has never been on a date before. Is that okay, Julie? And I'm going to match this guy up for this dream weekend. What do you think? Or, behind curtain number two, there is the most wonderful, sharp, sensitive, but strong, compassionate, listening, creative, spontaneous, harmonious, beautiful, muscular but not overbuilt, sharply dressed. This girl's fanning herself over here. I think she sees him in the building. I see him over there. And this guy is going to take you out to Tom's Family Restaurant for the evening. It's out past MARTA ways. It's a Texaco also. And none of the tables in the place match. And your waitress is going to be named Laverne, honey. Now, ladies, I may miss the boat all the time, but you got any A's out there? You're with the geek in the limo? It's a great weekend, though. Somebody said, I'll take the geek, $500. I can do anything a weekend. How many of you would be more interested in the family diner that's at Texaco with, yeah, see, it's something about that. Do you hear me? Is it filtered down yet? Some of you women may not come back for the rest of the time together. It's not the place. It's just not. It's the person that makes the place. And some of you would drive by and show your kids, see that Texaco? It's all boarded up now. That's where your dad took me the night I fell in love with him. Sitting right over it. Yeah. And what are your kids going to be doing? What are your kids going to do? They're ungrateful and insensitive. They're going to go, God, that place is a dump. And you're going to go, oh, it's not a dump either. And they're going to go, yeah, that's a dump right there. That is a dump. I can't believe you ate in that place. I mean, what, did you get a big key to go in with the men's on one side and the women's on the other? I mean, that place is a dump. No. Person makes place. So you have a great place, no person, bad deal. Great person, don't need a place. And Moses knew this secret.
And he said, God, blessing's great. Going into the promised land, thank you. Are you going to go with us? Because it won't be a great place unless you're there with us. God guaranteed his blessing. Moses said, there's something better than a blessing, and that's your presence. And lastly, let me just close quickly and say this. Moses said, there's something even better than your presence. That cloud or that pillar or that fire, that external thing. Moses, listen. Moses said, I want to go a step further. And though he was trapped in the Old Testament, he didn't have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and he wasn't filled with the Spirit. He wanted to be. Because he tried to step into the New Testament where you and I live, and he said, God, more than your presence. I like the cloud. It's great. The fire's cool. But God, I want your person. I want your person. I want the person behind the cloud. I want the person who can send the fire. I want the person who ordered the angel. God, I want to see, Moses said, your glory. If you read on down. He said, God, who's going to go with us? God said, I'll go with you and get my presence. He said, okay, let me try one more thing, God. God, will you show me your glory? Can I see you? Can I have you? And Moses got invited back up on the mountain for round two meeting. And when Moses went back on the mountain, men and women, for round two meeting, God hid him in a rock and let his glory pass before him and made his name known before him. And Moses was so wired by it, when he came off, his body was glowing. Because he'd been with the person of God. So our heartbeat is, God, thank you for the place. But God, we long for your presence. But God, more than just your presence being felt, let us each connect with your person. The psalmist said, the nearness of God is my good. Psalm 73. And then in Psalm 16 he said, in your presence is fullness of joy. The psalmist won the prize. The psalmist rung the bell. The psalmist knew that what his heart needed most was not God to give him a bunch of stuff. God, give me everything I want. What his heart needed most was the person of God. God, I need you more than anything. And the psalmist rung the bell also because he knew that in God's heart, God longed for us more than anything. And I want to tell you the truth tonight. God will withhold blessing in mass until we come and press in for his person. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He could give us everything we need today. Why doesn't he? Because if he did, we would be so stupid, we would take what he gave us and run without him. And he knows our hearts don't need blessing. Our hearts need him. And how easy we can be doing the work of God and miss him altogether. Right in the midst of a great ministry. Here we go to the Hippodrome. All right, let's fire it up. Crank it up. Make it work. And miss Jesus in the whole thing. And how easy I guess it is for you or me to walk out of our apartment or our dorm room in the morning, having said to God, I need this, and I need this, and I need this. Instead of walking out that door saying, Jesus, will you go with me? Will you walk with me? I need your presence more than anything. And so Jesus closed the whole New Testament. And he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Rumbling, stumbling in the wilderness, people, listen to me, Jesus said. I stand at the door and knock. You hear my voice? And open the door. I'll come in. And I'll turn, listen. I'll turn wherever you are into an incredible place. And maybe you'd ride by and show a friend, check that place out. That's where I meet God. Isn't it incredible? That's a bench. That's a dump. Oh no, it's not. Because I went there with Jesus. and He's what I need. Let's pray together. Father, we're no different than the nation of Israel, and so we ask You tonight to have mercy on us. And Father, many of us tonight know what it means to ask You for stuff and to miss You entirely. And we would all be honest enough to say tonight that all the stuff in the world can't satisfy our hearts. Only You can. Thank You, God, that You long to bless us. We thank You that You're a good God and not a bad God. We thank You that You're the kind of God that wants to give us more than we could ever even imagine. But more than that, tonight I boldly ask You for Your presence, for that visible symbol of Your meeting with us that distinguishes us from all the people on the earth. And more than that, I pray and ask, maybe You give us the grace that every heart in this room would be praying this with me, Father. That more than Your presence, just that we know that You met with us wherever two or more gathered together, there You are in our midst. More than that, we ask for Your person and say, show us Your glory. As much as You can show us. Because our heart's greatest need is You. That's what we cry out for most. And we trust You to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing this chorus together before we're dismissed tonight.